Well, our Lord is certainly our majestic Savior and King, and what a blessing to have voices to lift our praise to Him today. What a blessing. Well, let me invite you now to open your Bibles with me to John chapter 16, and we'll be looking at verses 12 through 15. And as you recall, the Lord in this section is teaching on the Holy Spirit. We have learned that the disciples are very sad. They are upset. They know that Christ is leaving them, and sorrow has filled their heart, verse 6. And they don't understand all that's about to happen, but they know that in some way Christ is leaving, and that has given them great sadness in their heart. And so the Lord is trying to encourage them, and the Lord would want to encourage your heart today as well by the truth that He's going to present to His disciples. Now, this is the longest section on our Lord's teaching on the Holy Spirit in this discourse. And last week we saw how the Lord emphasized the ministry of the Spirit to the world, to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Because if you're going to preach the gospel to the world and the world hates you and is going to persecute you, well, what hope of success would we ever have in proclaiming the gospel of Christ? And so the answer is in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and bring about their response of faith and repentance when they hear the gospel. So evangelism and missions, the success and harvest is the result of the Spirit of God working upon the world. But now in verse 12 through verse 15, the Lord is now going to emphasize the Spirit's ministry to the church. And there's a particular application here to the disciples. So what the Lord is going to emphasize is that the Spirit, not only does He have a ministry to the world, He has an ongoing ministry to the church, and that's going to be summed up by His ministry of guiding the apostles and glorifying the Son. Those are the two points that Christ is going to emphasize in this section today. So let me read this for you. Starting in John chapter 16, verse 12, as we read the inspired words of Christ faithfully recorded for us by the Apostle John under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So John records Jesus teaching His disciples, saying, "I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you." So the Lord is encouraging His disciples and telling them that the Spirit of God is definitely going to help them because He will send the Spirit to them. You know, this is such an incredible blessing for us. These words not only address the ministry of the Spirit to the 11 apostles, but I mean, this is precious. This is a wonderful encouragement that Christ has given us the Holy Spirit. And that, again, that Holy Spirit is going to accomplish two things. He's going to guide the apostles into all the truth, and He's also going to glorify the Son of God. And we are the beneficiaries of this. We get blessed because of it. So let's look at these ministries of the Holy Spirit. The first one that the Lord mentions is that the Spirit of God will guide them into all the truth. This is found in verse 12 and 13, Notice he begins in verse 12 by saying, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, the disciples are really too spiritually immature and too mentally unfit to handle this additional load of truth that Christ wants to give to them. Their ears are too clogged up with, spiritual earwax or something. They're too dull of hearing. And Jesus has more to teach them, and yet Jesus is running out of time. He has maybe a few more hours with them before he's arrested and taken away. So he has this tremendous body of truth to impart to them, but he's running out of time. He's going to very soon be taken from them. So how will this truth be imparted to them? Well, the great encouraging word is that the Holy Spirit will come and the Holy Spirit will lead them and guide them into all of that truth. In other words, when Jesus is taken from them, the Holy Spirit becomes the substitute teacher. And he comes into the classroom and he takes over. He continues the teaching where Jesus left off. That's the encouragement. Even though Jesus is leaving and now going to heaven, the classroom is not canceled. It will continue. The teaching will go on through the Holy Spirit, who is the substitute teacher for Jesus Christ in his absence. Notice in verse 13 how the Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of truth. Three times in this discourse, once in chapter 14, verse 17, chapter 15, verse 26, now in chapter 16, verse 13, the Lord has referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Now, why is that? Because truth is his special domain. Christ is the truth, and the Spirit's job is to guide them into the truth about Jesus Christ. That's his special ministry. And that's one of the chief ways that he's our helper and our paraclete. In specific, in verse 13, he will guide them into all the truth. And this word to guide really kind of has a connotation of to lead or direct someone in such a way that they successfully reach their destination. Kind of reminds me of Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. He gets me there to those quiet waters. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. The Lord our shepherd guides us in that righteous life. Of course, a great Old Testament example of guidance is a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. And in a sense, that's a picture of the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God here guides us in the sense that he will teach the apostles all the truth. And that expression, all the truth, that the Holy Spirit will later teach them, all the truth, that is all everything you need to know about salvation and sanctification, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all the truth, all that truth. Doesn't mean he's going to, guide you into the truth of mathematics or science or any of that kind of stuff. It's all spiritual truth. It deals with salvation and sanctification. Now, when he says he's going to guide them into all the truth, that really kind of has two functions, really. One of them is that there is already a body of existing truth that Christ has already taught them, and the Holy Spirit will bring all that up to remembrance. This is what we read back in John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit will guide them into all the truth, number one, by bringing up to their remembrance everything that Jesus has already taught them. So in a certain sense, and I suspect that those disciples had memories that were as leaky as yours and mine. But in a sense, this is a promise in John 14, verse 26, that the Spirit of God will supernaturally work in their minds and create, if you will, somewhat of a photographic memory so that they can remember the exact words of Jesus and the exact details of the miracles and events that they wrote about in the Gospels. So the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all that Jesus has already previously taught them, and that is, of course, a supernatural work of the gospel, of the Spirit. And basically that information is contained in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So all of the teachings of Christ that we're studying right now is the result of the Holy Spirit bringing all this supernaturally to their minds. Because those disciples, I mean, they were so fuzzy-headed and so slow to understand. How did they remember all this stuff? How did they remember all these incredible discourses, the Sermon on the Mount and all these other things? The Holy Spirit supernaturally enabled them to remember exactly what Jesus said and exactly what Jesus did. And again, the Gospels are the fulfillment of John 14, verse 26. And I say this and emphasize it because the Gospels are not fables. They're not myths. They are accurate history. These are not stories invented by the early church. And all the liberals will say that. Well, you can't trust the Bible. You can't trust the Gospels. And we need to get in there. And the whole Jesus seminar, that liberal think tank, wanted to come back and say, well, all of this was just added in and dreamed up by the early church. And so we've got to dig down through all of this and somehow find the kernel of what Jesus actually said. Well, that's liberalism. The Holy Spirit is promised that He will bring to their remembrance what Jesus had taught them. So everything we have in the Gospels is absolutely true, every word of it, because the Holy Spirit enabled the apostles to remember that and to record it. So there's a previous existing truth that is certainly involved in this, but also when it says that He will guide you into all the truth, there's a whole bunch more truth that the Holy Spirit has to teach them that, as Jesus said in verse 12, they can't bear it now. It's too heavy for them right now. They're not able to mentally bear the load of it. It would just kind of go in one ear and out the other, as some of it did anyway. So there's a whole new load of truth, a whole mine, a whole treasure chest full of new truth that the Spirit will reveal to them. And this is basically going to be an elaboration and further explanation of the Gospels, where Jesus now explains, where the Holy Spirit now explains in further detail who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them on the cross. And this is fulfilled in the epistles written in the New Testament. So He will guide you into all the truth. That's from like the book of Acts all the way through the book of Jude. And then if you drop down at the bottom of verse 13, it says, and He will disclose to you what is to come. There's prophecy. And that's all the prophecies that you find throughout the New Testament. You find some in the book of Acts. You find them in the epistles. And then you find it in the book of Revelation. So in effect, what the Spirit of truth will do, He will guide you into all the truth, which will ultimately produce for us the New Testament. The Gospels, as He brings to remembrance all that Jesus had already said and done, and then the epistles, and then the Revelation, all the prophecy. So in effect, this is a promise that the Spirit of truth will come and guide you into all the truth, and all that will be recorded for us in Holy Scripture, into the pages of the New Testament. So again, the Spirit comes as the substitute teacher. He comes in to replace Jesus in His teaching ministry. And He comes in as the stand-in for Christ after He ascends to the Father. And so He now presides over the classroom. And aren't we blessed that He came? Because now we have the Word of God completed. And we can be blessed and enriched because we have this incredible treasure placed in our hands because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will come and impart this additional truth to the apostles, And he will do that by means of revelation and inspiration. In revelation, he will impart this new truth to the apostles, to the authors of the New Testament. And through inspiration, he will guide them in writing it down, in recording it. So really, the chief professor in the school of Christ is going to be the Holy Spirit. And he will teach them on all that we have again in the rest of Holy Scripture. The Apostle Paul described this ministry of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, when he says that, speaking of his own ministry, we speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So the ministry of the Apostle Paul is part of the fulfillment of this, and he claims not to be taught, not to be teaching words that come from men or human wisdom, but words that come from the Spirit of God. So that's the Holy Spirit teaching the disciples and guiding them into all the truth. Now, there is a sense in which this guiding ministry goes on today, not in the same way, not by ongoing revelation or ongoing inspiration. I think revelation and inspiration ended with the New Testament. But the Holy Spirit still guides us into all the truth through illumination. Not revelation, not inspiration, but through illumination. That is, so that we can understand what has already been revealed and inspired and written down in Scripture. That's illumination, the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit guides us today by opening our eyes to see the truth and the glory of God in the Scriptures. So, inspiration enabled the apostles to write the truth on parchment, but illumination is where the Spirit writes the truth on our hearts, on our minds, so that now we can understand it. So it impacts our life and changes us. That's the work of the Spirit of God. That's how He guides us today. So we need that Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to help us read the Bible. I don't know how many of y'all, when you read fine print, you have to use some of those granny glasses or bifocals. Or, you know, sometimes I'll pick up some jar or something or some package, and a lot of little print. And I mean, it's all blurry. I can't even make out the words. So I got to go find my granny glasses, put those things on, and then suddenly it comes into focus. And a lot of times when we come to the Word of God, it's like it's blurry. I mean, yeah, I see the words, but spiritually, it's kind of blurry to me. I mean, how many times can we read a chapter in the Bible? And then, I mean, I can't remember a thing that I read because my thoughts were so distracted and I'm just not understanding this. And, you know, I'm in the middle of Ezekiel right now and one of the places I'm reading. And, you know, sometimes I'm reading through that and I'm saying, what in the world is this saying? And I need those granny glasses because spiritually I'm all blurred out. I mean, it's kind of like when Jesus healed that blind man and he started seeing men walking around like trees. I mean, it's just, I'm not getting this. But then he works again and suddenly we see it for what it is. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's like spiritual granny glasses or bifocals that magnify my blurry vision so I can see truth and be transformed by it. That's illumination. That's how the Spirit of God continues to guide us today and how we need to pray for the Lord to continue to do that, for the Spirit to give us that clarity, that understanding when we read the Word. You know, there's a great illustration of this in Luke chapter 24. Remember, Jesus is raised from the dead, and he meets those two men who are on the road to Emmaus. And he's talking to them, and at first, you know, they don't recognize who he is, and then later He enables them to see who he is. But in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, he's talking to them, and he says, "All things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then the next verse says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." That's illumination. That's how the Holy Spirit guides us today. He opens our minds so that we can understand the scriptures. Without the Holy Spirit doing that, I don't get it. I don't get the blessing from it. I don't understand what's going on. So this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, guiding the apostles into all the truth through revelation and inspiration, writing it down, and then guiding us through illumination by helping us to understand what's there. But look at what else the Lord says about the Spirit in verse 13. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So now he's telling us that the Holy Spirit, when he's guiding them into all the truth, is not going to speak on his own initiative. He's not going to make it up. It's not going to come from the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit is going to speak to the apostles what he hears. So he's like a mediator. This is really similar to what Jesus himself said about his own ministry in John 12, verse 49. He said, "I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak." Well, in a similar sense, the Holy Spirit is doing the same thing. Jesus spoke what the Father gave him to speak. And when the Spirit comes, he will speak what the Son gives him to speak. So he's not speaking his own words. He's actually carrying on the teaching ministry of Christ. So really, it's Christ who's teaching, but the Holy Spirit is just relaying those messages to the apostles. It's kind of like if you watch football and some teams like to rotate in and out players from the sidelines into the huddle. And what do? The coach comes over and he tells that player what the play is going to be. And then the player dashes over to the huddle and he tells the quarterback, and the quarterback then tells all the players, and they run up and they run that play. And in a similar way, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's taking from the coach, from Jesus Christ, the truth that the players need. And then he kind of runs into the huddle, so to speak, in a divine way, and communicates that truth to the apostles so that they can have directly the word of Christ communicated to them through the Holy Spirit. That's the ministry of the Spirit. And is he a trustworthy witness and guide? You know, if I had to do that, probably at least 5 times out of 10, I'd get in the huddle and I'd say, "Oh man, I forgot. What did they say? What's the play?" But the Holy Spirit is absolutely trustworthy. He's absolutely an expert witness. He's not like us who has a short memory, who can't remember what Jesus said, or he might mess it up and get it wrong. That's not prophecy. He's going to speak exactly what Jesus told him to speak. That's the mark of the gift of prophecy that he even gives to the apostles. He's not like Satan, who's a liar and the father of lies. No, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He always speaks truth. It's never mingled with anything else. It's always truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He is one with the Son in their divine nature, and he's dedicated to bringing us the Word of Christ. So as the Spirit shares fully in the divine nature with the Father and the Son, he misses nothing. He gets it all right, and he communicates exactly what Jesus wants him to teach the apostles. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, talking about the qualifications of the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, he says the Spirit knows and searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now, who can do that? Who can search out the deep things of God? Well, we can't, but the Holy Spirit can. And the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Thus, Paul says, the Holy Spirit is given that we might know the things freely given to us by God. You can trust the Holy Spirit. You can trust the Word of God because it's faithfully transmitted to us exactly what Jesus wants us to know. And then you look at the end of verse 13, he will disclose to you what is to come. This is just a reference to the spirit of prophecy during this first phase of the life of the church. And Joel 2 said that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, which he was on Pentecost, then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And that's exactly what they did. They prophesied that, some of them prophesied that Paul would be bound and arrested and delivered over to the Gentiles. Some of them prophesied about the coming famine. Some of them prophesied about the end time apostasy. And again, the whole book of Revelation and all that. But the Spirit will disclose what is to come. And again, he makes no mistakes. He records exactly the prophetic events that God wants us to know and hopefully to understand to some degree. So this is the ministry of the Spirit. He comes and he teaches and guides us into all the truth. He doesn't speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he speaks. It's getting it direct from Jesus Christ. And he will disclose to you, he will speak to you, he will announce to you what is to come. And again, all of this is fulfilled in the Gospels, the epistles, and in all the prophetic portions of the New Testament. You know, all of this is emphasizing something very, very important to us, and that is just how vital the Word of God is for our Christian lives. And you know, one of the greatest mistakes we make as Christians is to neglect the Scriptures. When we do not read the Word daily, we encourage the growth of the flesh within us. We encourage the growth of our pride and our self-centeredness, and we grieve and can quench the Spirit of God when we're not in the Word of God. Because what the Word of God does when we're faithfully reading it is it's going to convict me of sin, does that regularly. It's going to point me to Christ. It's going to give me the grace that I need to deal with my sin nature and to encourage my heart and to renew that hope of glory to come. But if I begin to neglect this, suddenly that truth, yeah, it's still there, but it begins to fade. It's like having the truth as a sun on a midday noon sky as opposed to the sun that's setting as things are growing darker and darker. And I forget those things, and I continually need to be reminded. And I know some people say, well, I already know that. I've already read the Bible once. I don't need to read again. But you forget stuff. And even if you haven't totally forgotten it, you need it brought up to the front of your brain so it can have the power and the sanctifying influence. And one of the greatest mistakes we make is to neglect the Word of God. And when we neglect the Word of God, we easily grow spiritually out of tune with the Spirit. We become more and more under the control of the flesh. We become spiritually dry and unfruitful. And yet we read of Psalm 1 and how blessed is a man who delights in the law of God and meditates in it day and night, and he'll be like that tree firmly planted by streams of water, which bears its fruit. And we want to be like that, but it comes through our relationship with the Word of God. There really is no way to get around that. And I know you can think, well, you know, I can still live a profitable, godly, productive Christian life, and even though I don't read the Bible very much, well, you could live a whole bunch better for Christ if you're in the Word of God. You'd have more of His joy, more of His peace, more of His power, more of His grace, because that's how the Spirit funnels that to us, is through the truth, through the Word of God. And may the Lord help us have the attitude of David in Psalm 119 when he said, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So sometimes, you know, and I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life, but sometimes we just need to turn the TV off. Sometimes we need to get out in front of the computer. And we just need to open up the Word of God and say, Lord, teach me. Lord, minister grace to my heart. Lord, I need you. And you know, I can get so distracted with all these other things. Lord, bring me back to the Word of God, because that's where the Holy Spirit is going to bless you. You know, in the next chapter, Jesus is going to pray in verse 17, Father, sanctify them in truth, and thy word is truth. There's really no way to get around it. We need to be in the Word of God. What a blessing it is to have God's truth that can transform and can make me more like Christ. I just need the discipline. I need to fight for it. Because Satan and the world and my own flesh will do anything it can to distract me so I'm not in the Word of God. So may the Lord help us all. But that's the ministry of the Spirit, is to guide the apostles into the truth through revelation, through inspiration, and then to guide us in that truth through illumination so we can be blessed by the Word of God. So that's the first ministry. The second part that Jesus brings up is in verse 14 and 15, and that is, he will glorify me. He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Well, notice what he says there in verse 14. He, that is the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. That is the Spirit's chief work, is to glorify Christ. The Father glorified the Son in heaven when he raised him from the dead and exalted him at his right hand. And now the Spirit will glorify the Son on earth. Notice what he says here, that in doing this, the Spirit does not... He will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. Because his whole focus is to draw attention not to himself, but to Christ. The Spirit will never... This isn't saying that the Spirit never will communicate information about himself, or that the Spirit will never talk about himself. The Spirit is doing that here through Christ as he's inspiring the apostles to remember this and to write it down for us. But the focal point of the Spirit is not on the Spirit. It's on Jesus Christ. That's why in Peter, when the Spirit fell in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he preached, and he began with the prophecy explaining what had happened about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Joel chapter 2. And then for the rest of his time, he preached Christ. He was so Christ-centered, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He always focuses not on himself, but on Jesus Christ. And this is why the problem I have with some of my charismatic friends is because they sometimes, I think, err in putting too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Now, I've done a 12-week series on the Holy Spirit. It's certainly appropriate to study the Holy Spirit. But when we begin to focus too much upon the Spirit of God, if there's more talk about the Spirit than the Scriptures or Christ, then that is not the Spirit doing that. If the Holy Spirit is glorified, not Christ being glorified, then that is not the Holy Spirit doing that. If the Holy Spirit is the emphasis, then that is not the Holy Spirit doing that. Because the Holy Spirit will always put the attention and the glory on Jesus Christ. That's what he came to do. And how does he do it? Well, there in verse 14, Jesus says he will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. So the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ by taking of the things of Christ and disclosing it to us. That's one of the great ways that He actually glorifies Christ by teaching us about Christ. Now, this certainly shows the unity of the Godhead, because in verse 15, Jesus says, you know, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So basically, everything that Jesus has comes from the Father, And everything that the Spirit has comes from Christ. So again, you've got the unity of the Godhead in all of this. It's really quite beautiful. But what the Holy Spirit will do is He will take of mine, Jesus says in verse 14, and will disclose it to you. Well, what does it mean, He will take of mine? What's that referring to? Well, it's referring to a lot of things, probably, but it's certainly referring to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will take of mine, that is, the truth about me, who I am fully God and fully man, and what I did, I offered myself as an atoning sacrifice for your sin, and He will take of mine who I am, what I accomplished, and He will disclose it to you. And again, that word disclose here in verse 14 primarily emphasizes He will teach it to you. He will open your minds to understand this truth about me. He will disclose me to you. That's how He glorifies Christ. One of the great ways that He glorifies the Lord. But even deeper than that, I think, When Jesus says He will take of mine, it's all the blessings that Christ gives us. And the Holy Spirit imparts those blessings to us and then instructs us about those blessings so we can live for His glory and praise and worship Him because of those blessings. So, I mean, just name it. I mean, this is like the whole rest of the New Testament. From predestination to glorification, from our calling to our regeneration and our justification and our sanctification and our final glorification. All of this is belongs to Christ. These are the blessings that He has produced and purchased for us. It belongs to Him that He gives to us. And so the Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Christ, all this, the richness of these blessings, and He imparts it to us by His grace, and then He instructs us so that we can understand it. This is the ministry of the Spirit. And the disclosing of all of this, all of the blessings that Christ has won for us, and all the information that the Spirit discloses to us about those blessings, is all found in the Word of God. So that He glorifies Christ by taking of Christ and imparting it to us and then instructing us and disclosing it so that we can understand it and glorify Christ for all these blessings. And how do you get all that information? Again, the Spirit of God recorded it through revelation and inspiration in the Word of God, and then through illumination so that we can understand it. So again, the Spirit of God brings us back to the Word of God as the means by which He glorifies Christ and puts the attention upon Jesus Christ. That's what the Spirit of God does. He is a master of focusing upon the Lord Jesus and drawing our attention to Him. And that's why we have the New Testament. You know, I think one of the greatest illustrations of this ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you've probably heard it before, I think I've used it on a number of occasions over the years, is just lights on a steeple. If you drive by Northwest Bible Church late at night and it's dark outside, you'll see our steeple, which is a cross, and it's lit up in the midst of the dark night. And so you can see it from a long ways off, and you can drive by the church, and you can see this steeple all lit up from all sides, and it's brightly shining in the midst of a dark night. And all you see is a steeple, and what you don't see are the lights that are screwed down on the roof that are pointing towards the steeple. Those are basically invisible. All you see is the light illuminating the cross. And that's really what the Spirit of God does. He doesn't draw attention to Himself. He draws attention to Jesus Christ. He doesn't really want people to get all hot and bothered and all excited and all focused on the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit wants us to get all hot and bothered and excited about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. He came to glorify Christ, not even glorify himself, though he's certainly worthy of glory and praise. But his ministry is to shine the light on the cross, that here's a sinless Savior that came and died on that cross for poor sinners like you and I, who are totally undone because of our sin. And he bore our sin on the cross. And the judgment of God and the wrath of God fell upon him. And he absorbed it all. And he paid the price fully and completely, that whoever believes upon him might not perish, but have the free gift of everlasting life. That's the ministry of the Spirit of God. And where do we learn about that gospel? Where do we learn about that Christ? It's in the pages of the Word of God. This is where he revealed it. This is where he inspired it. And as we go in faith and praying for the Spirit to open our eyes, this is where he illuminates us, not so that we can get all captured up with the Spirit, but that we can see Christ and glorify him and love him and worship him and praise him for his love for us and his grace and his mercy for us. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to accomplish in your heart today. He wants you to see Christ lit up in all of his beauty. By faith, to see Christ transformed in his glory. And to just be amazed at what Christ is. And amazed at what Christ has done. And just to worship him. And to commit your life to him. And to live for him, and to love him. That's the Spirit. He will come and guide the apostles into all the truth about Christ, so that they will record it in scriptures. And then he'll illuminate our minds to see it and give us faith and grace and repentance, that we might see Christ and love him and follow him. That's the Spirit. The Spirit of God empowers us to live for Christ, but that power will flow to us through the Word of God as he sharpens our blurry vision of Christ and brings the Lord Jesus more into focus. This is power coming into our life through God, through the Word, as the Spirit uses the Word of God to help us to see Christ better. You know, in your home as well as in my home, you have a power line probably that runs in somewhere to the roof of your house. And that power line comes from some other pole, and it comes from some other place. It's ultimately connected to a power plant. And that power line comes into your home and then into your breaker box. And that breaker box is broken down into all these fuses that basically supply electricity to all parts of your house. So that your house would have no power. You can run your air conditioner, you can run your TV, computer, your coffee pot, your disposal, anything without power, without electricity. And there's a similar way in which we are a house of God. We are a temple of the living God. We're a house, and we need power. We need power to worship. We need power to live. We need power to serve. And that power flows to us through the Spirit, through the wire of his truth, which he has recorded in the pages of Scripture. This is the power line. This is the conduit that the Spirit of God uses to bring his power into our life so that our house can be lit up for the glory of Jesus Christ. Without the Spirit, without the Word, there would be no Christianity. Without the Spirit, the Christian life is certainly impossible. Sanctification would be impossible. And even as it is, sometimes our hearts can become so cold and frigid, as if in the cold grip of winter, and our hearts can grow cold towards God and cold to serve and too cold that we're full of shivers to act out our faith. But when the Spirit comes through the Word of God and begins to minister that grace, he brings the thaw of spring into our soul. He brings the warmth and the light and the heat that begins the plants to grow and the grace to grow within our life. That's the Spirit of God's ministry through the truth that He has brought to our hearts through the pages of the Word of God. So in summary, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit: to guide the apostles into truth through revelation and inspiration. They recorded that truth in the Word of God, and now that revelation and inspiration are over, He continues the guidance through illumination as He opens our eyes to see the truth about Christ. And that's how He glorifies Christ: opening our eyes to see the Lord Jesus in the Word of God and drawing our hearts to love Him. The Spirit comes to glorify the Son. He takes of Christ all the blessings, all the glory of Christ, and He has revealed it in the Word, so that when we spend time reading Scripture and the Spirit of God is opening our eyes, then our hearts cannot help but be stirred to glorify and to worship Jesus Christ. And if the Holy Spirit is active in your life, if the Holy Spirit is working in your soul, you will be drawn to the Word of God like bees are drawn to the nectar of a flower. Because the Holy Spirit binds Himself with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit draws us to the Word of God because He has committed His heart's passion, if we could speak that way, of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ. And the way He does it is through the Word of God. If the Spirit of God is working in your heart, He will draw you to the Word of God. And if you've been negligent or have not been spending time in the Word of God, pray for the Spirit of God to revive you. Pray for the Spirit of God to give you the self-control and the discipline to spend more time in the Word of God, because that's how the Spirit will glorify the Son in our hearts. Well, we struggle with this. I know you struggle. I struggle sometimes in spending time in the Word, but be encouraged. The Spirit of God is there. Read the Word, though. Discipline yourself to spend time in it and pray for the Spirit to show you Jesus Christ. And He will. That's His ministry. Well, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You, Lord, in all of our weakness and all of our distractions. And Lord, You know how we struggle in spending time in this Word of truth that the Spirit of truth has given to us for our blessing and edification. And Lord, You know how easy it is to get up in the mornings and we're tired and we're running late and we don't have time to spend reading the Scriptures. And throughout the day, we're oftentimes so preoccupied with school or with work that we really don't even think about Scriptures. And then we get home and we're too tired, and we just find ourselves spending day after day in that same pattern. And Lord, You know that we're weak. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is very weak. So Father, we need You to help us. And Lord, just encourage us with what Jesus has taught His disciples, that He has a lot of truth to teach them, but it'll be the work of the Spirit to do that. And the Spirit will do that as He brings about the completion of the canon of Holy Scripture. And now we have that in our hands. And Lord, how foolish we are when we neglect it. But Lord, oftentimes we do. So forgive us, Father. And just give us a longing to want to see Jesus Christ and to want to see Him glorified, so that we're actually motivated to be more regular and picking up the Bible and reading it, and not being so easily distracted with all the other things that we may rather want to do, but reading the Word of God would be the best thing that we could do. We just need that strength and that discipline. So help us, Father. And thank You for giving us the Spirit of God. Thank You for the Spirit giving us the Word of God. And may the Word of God bless us, that we might see and live and love the Lord Jesus Christ all the more. And this we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.